It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. We've been doing this for quite a while. How are we today, Bill?
Very good, Howard. Thank you very much indeed. I trust you're well.
Yes, indeed. Now, we're going to plan today how to make things easier for family and heirs. Nobody really likes discussing the practical implications of the death with the family. But planning ahead, of course, does make a big difference, doesn't it, Bill?
It's essential, Howard. And it's more essential, if you like, when you have decided to move out of your home country into an overseas territory. Because the laws and the rules of succession, of probate, are all different. And it's absolutely vital that you, A, understand the implications of the laws of both the place you came from and the country you're living in. And it's essential that you then deal with the likelihood, if that is the case, that your estate may end up being subjected to probate in the UK, simply because our records indicate that a large proportion of women who are widowed whilst living in an expatriate life return to their original home country within a year or two of the death of their spouse. It's not quite the same for widowers. Fewer go back within that time scale. But even then, a lot of widowers go back as they get older. This is essentially to do with healthcare for men, and I think more essentially with widows to do with wanting to be with the family. And frankly, some continental European societies don't make life as a widow terribly easy. It's much easier for men, I'm sorry to say that, but that's a fact of life. And the simple truth is that when you're talking to Blevins Franks about how you are planning for your succession at the end of your life, of your assets and the things you've worked all of your life for, we will be taking into account the likelihood that the UK tax may come into play, as well as the local tax, and it will be our job to make sure that we have put both plans into place, as it were, at the earliest possible time.
Yeah. Let's look at a power of attorney, Bill. Do you think that's a good idea to set one up, or could it be risky?
Well, there's always a risk when you sign a power of attorney, unless you're fairly strict about the way you limit that power. A power of attorney is a document which gives a third party the right to sign and deal with legal aspects of your affairs on your behalf, and with their signature being sufficient to carry through a vast number of technical requirements. A lot of people buying property in Spain give their abogado a power of attorney and limit it only to transactions related to that property purchase. Now, when you're dealing with the estate of an individual, there are lots of complexities, and I'm a great believer in using a power of attorney only where you have absolute confidence in the person you're giving that attorney to. It might be a member of the family, it might be a long trusted professional connection, but give it some thought before you make that power of attorney, and make sure that when you give that power of attorney, in the same way as you appoint an executor of your will, make sure that the powers that those powers of attorney have and the powers that an executor have are limited to what you want them to be. Otherwise, I'm afraid there is a risk that things can go awry.
Yeah. Well, Bill, we often talk about deciding what the best option is for your pension funds, but what about the inheritance process for pensions? What do we need to be aware of here?
Yeah, this is a very complex subject, and as you know, Howard, we've covered this one as a whole subject during these discussions over the radio over the years. When you have updated all the standard sort of paperwork that's necessary, you need to remember that one of the most important updates and one of the most important considerations will be your pension, which are often an extremely valuable cash asset. When you first set up your pension, generally speaking, you specify who is going to inherit the benefits of your pension through what's known as an expression of wishes. Now, that's the case because most UK pensions are a form of trust arrangement, and there are trustees of the pension fund, and you then make a letter called an expression of wishes to tell the trustees how you want them to distribute your assets. Or you can actually, in some cases, nominate a beneficiary on a form to give the trustees guidance as to how to distribute your pension assets. But many, many people do that at outset and then forget to update these if their family situation changes. And if your documents aren't up to date and there is a confusion or a dispute over who should receive your benefits, usually the trustee of the pension fund will be making the final decision. So you can avoid that by ensuring both your pensions and all the other paperwork that you've got are current and aligned with each other.
Moving on to Spain then, Bill, can we talk about wills, of course, and they are a big part of estate planning. But do expatriates in Spain need to be particularly careful with their wills and making sure they're suitable for their current situation and wishes?
I think that's true, Howard, but I also think it's true wherever you happen to have assets or wherever you're resident. Now, a key consideration in making sure your will, in which you outline how your estate's going to be passed on, is up to date. It needs to keep up with what you might call as major life changes, moving home, getting married. When you get married, any will you made before getting married is void immediately you marry. And if you get divorced, of course, your will that you made in consideration of a previous marriage also automatically voided. And it may be that you've got new family members, children coming into the family, grandchildren, stepchildren perhaps. I mean, there's a lot now of second and third marriages where stepchildren are involved. And of course, keeping up to date with what your intentions are is vitally important. I think it's important to look at your will every year. It's surprising sometimes just how many things change in a short 12-month period. Now, for expatriates and Britons with overseas property, it can be beneficial to have two wills, especially in Spain. One for assets in the country in which you reside, Spain, and one in the UK for British-based assets. Now, those should align and cross-reference each other to avoid a conflict and the potential for one will to invalidate or supersede the other. So that if you're, for example, making a will regarding, you've got a UK will, it covers your UK assets, it may suggest that it covers your worldwide assets. Now, that, of course, means that if you now make a Spanish will, it may already have been superseded by the terms and expressions in your UK will. If you set up a Spanish will and you go through the normal narrative at the outset when it says, this is my last will and testament, you have automatically invalidated the earlier UK will. So you need to have two wills where you've got assets in the different locations. You need to specify in each will that this will is appropriate to the assets I own in the UK and this is appropriate to the assets I own in Spain, for example, so that it's fairly clear that the will has been designed to cover only the assets within the jurisdiction in which they are located.
Yeah. And what about inheritance tax planning? I presume planning ahead could make a big difference here.
Well, you know, we're always talking about UK domicile. Now, for UK nationals, even if you've lived in Spain for many, many years, or France, or anywhere else in continental Europe, anywhere else outside the UK, you could still be considered a UK domicile. And that simple fact of retaining or regaining your UK domicile can bring you into line for 40% UK inheritance tax on your worldwide assets. It has the potential also to be a charge payable to UK inheritance tax in addition to the local succession taxes payable. In Spain, for example, where the double tax treaty does not cover the incidence of UK inheritance tax and Spanish succession tax, the two are separate, not covered by the double tax treaty, and therefore you can be liable for tax on the same assets in both jurisdictions. Now, there is a form of unilateral relief given in those circumstances, but you're now looking at a costly, complex and long-winded process to find out what tax you're going to pay and where. So yes, tax planning is very important. It's essential to make sure, because there isn't a sort of one-size-fits-all. Estate planning is, as I say, complex, and every family is different. So the approach you take should be sort of tailored, if you like, to your personal objectives and your unique situation. With careful planning, you can have peace of mind that your legacy will end up in the right hands at the right time, with the minimum of fuss and the minimum expense to your heirs. It's a dreadful set of circumstances when a lack of planning is in place. And apart from the natural grief and distress that's caused in those circumstances of the death of a loved one, they then have an absolute morass to sort through for the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years before things are settled. It's bizarre. And the sooner you sit down to plan your will and any powers of attorney you might wish to consider, the better, because it's in consideration of those things with expert advice. And Blevins Franks have been doing this for nearly 40 years. So I would suggest, you know, it's worth speaking to one of the Blevins Franks regulated and qualified individuals to make sure that your affairs are set up in the most appropriate way even though it's a difficult subject to talk about.
Yeah. Finally, Bill, do you have any other advice for listeners on how they can plan ahead to make life easier for their family and theirs?
I honestly think the only way forward, Howard, is to take advice at the earliest possible time. I mean, I would say that, wouldn't I? But it's fairly common sense, isn't it? That if none of us know when we're going to keel over, the simple fact is that if you put into place something that clearly defines how you want your assets to be distributed, you have removed the worry, the grief that will be suffered by the people you love most. And indeed, if you then sit down and look at those expressions of your wishes within a will every 12 months, and if there has been new grandchildren, new stepchildren, the divorce, you have the opportunity to make the changes and keep your final wishes up to date. It's a fairly important thing to do. It's, of course, not pleasant to talk about one's own death, but you know, we all have to do it. I mean, it's a sad fact of life that a vast number of people do not set up wills early enough, and in many cases not at all, and then you're left at the vagaries of the probate system and either the UK succession system or the overseas succession system, none of which are really suited to an individual's specific and intended needs.
Yeah. So I suppose the Blevins Franks website is a good first port of call.
First being the operative word, Howard, I think it is the first place that you should look. Brief yourself on the business of Blevins Franks, get your confidence in that company, get to know where your local office is, meet up with the individual who's the partner or senior partner in your local office, make a contact with them, have a preliminary discussion, it won't cost you anything, with them to try and identify quite whether or not it's an important element for you to deal with right now, and to take some clear advice about how to set up an estate planning exercise without too much misery in the process, to avoid a lot more misery later on. So Blevins Franks, www.blevinsfranks.com is a good starting point, quite right.
Many thanks. We'll talk at the same time next week. Have a good week.